Good day, and welcome to today's PeopleCert fourth quarter 2023 conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you may register for the queue by pressing star one on your telephone keypad at any time. This meeting is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to hand the call over to Mr. Byron Nicolaides, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining for the Q4 2023 results of PeopleCert, which also are going to include the full year reporting. So on slide three, we're going to have, as usual, the agenda is the overview, the financials, and then it's going to be a Q&A session. And together with me here is George Giannetsos, our CFO, and Petros Lambropoulos, our Senior Corporate Development Officer. Moving on to slide five, the highlights. On the revenue, Q4 was not a good quarter, and our revenue was at 34 million pounds, -9% versus Q4 2022, and LTM 2023 closed at 120 million pounds, -3% versus LTM September 2023. All year-on-year is approximately 2% up versus 2022. The EBIT of Q4 was at 18 million, -24% versus Q4 2022, and LTM December 2023 at 67 million pounds, -9% and LTM September 2023. This means that our margin, our EBITDA margin, instead of 60%, is down at 56% for the period. Our net debt was at 182 million pounds. Our cash position increased as of September 2023 from 63 million pounds to 78 million pounds, and net debt to EBITDA was at 2.72 times versus 2.65, and compared with LTM March 2021 of 4.1 times. Important things about 2023, because 2023 was a special year in our journey. First of all, it was a year where after we completed the acquisition of Axellos and we've done the synergies, was the first year of significant investments and also a transformation year. As a result of this, we have a completely new product stack from business changing. Instead of doing exams only, monetizing through exams, now our business is generate IP, manage IP, and monetize IP. We had the official training materials roll out, both the instructor-led in April, as well as e-learning, something that we did not have before, previously. And we also had the subscription membership revenue, which from a few hundred thousand to 300,000, went close to 2 million. That was 750% up in Q4 2022. We also, within 2023, we expanded our product portfolio. We acquired the DevOps Institute, where we completed the integration, and we are now also the dominant power in the DevOps area. And also in November 2023, we had an acquisition of LMS Technology Platform that will give us our independence on LMS as well, within 2024. We had a significant job on rebranding our products, and there is a slide coming on this one, and we have right now a new and proper product taxonomy. And also within 2023, we had two upgrades from Standard & Poor's and Moody's in April 2023, which was after the Fitch upgrade to BB- on September 22. There has to be a correction here. The Standard & Poor's upgrade is not to B, it's from B to B+. It's a mistake. My apologies. The last line of the highlights. So, for the newcomers, I'm not going to stay very much on the business highlights, but PeopleCert is a global leader in the learning technology area. As a result of the Axels acquisition, now we own and develop frameworks and certifications that improve organizational efficiency and enhance people's skills and lives. The areas where we operate is the IT, digital transformation, project program and portfolio management, and languages. And we own two of the most globally recognized and IP-protected, it's important, IP-protected frameworks that were developed by the UK government over a 30-year period. Those are ITIL in IT and digital transformation and PRINCE2 in project program portfolio management. And the business is controlled today 80% from myself and it also owns 20% from FTD Capital. You can see the revenue 120 million, EBITDA 67 million pounds, EBITDA margin 56%, 85% cash flow conversion, and net debt over adjusted EBITDA 2.72 times. If we go to the charts on the bottom, on the left side, you can see the exams are now 60% and the other products are at 40%. Exams used to be 95% a few years ago, and gradually are going down because we have other products. You'll see in the coming slides. By business line, IT and digital transformation is 60%, project management 30%, and languages around 10%, 9%. By geography, EMEA 69%, APAC 16%, and Americas 15%. And by channel, B2B is 87% and B2C 13%. If you follow our previous presentations, you see a gradual, slow but gradual increase from B2B to B2C, and this is also a result of the acquisition. A difficult year, and it was a year because we had the war. At the same time, with the increase in interest rates, it has an impact as well on our business. But also, the numbers were impacted by two important events. And those are in February 22, we introduced the books. The books were not there. And this had a significant effect on pull forward on January 22. And similar effect we had in December 22, when we had the official training material as of January 23, which was a very significant impact on the learner cost, on top of approximately 15% of price increase. So the result of those two, if we take effect, which is a one-time effect as a result of the acquisitions, because both those events happened as a result of the acquisition, introduction of the books and the official training material, have impact on the growth rates of the previous years, which we can see more clearly at slide number 8. So the net revenue normalization would be that 2021 revenue normalized from 79 is 83 million. The 2022 is 109 million versus 118, and 2023 is 126. And those are very obvious when you look at the results on the monthly result. Nevertheless, this is one time and does not impact our growth. Here you can see that the 10-year CAGR as of 2023 as well. We have a 34% year-over-year growth, which we hope to continue in the coming years as well. On the slide number nine, you see the non-normalized growth. But we had to make this clarification as well. And of course, you can see here on slide number 10 that CEBUSET is a truly global business. We have exams, certifications, and people in over 200 countries every year. And this is a picture which is real. The size of the circle represents the size of the business per country, which is a snapshot from our reporting system. Moving on to slide number 11, we would like also to show you the headcount evolution. When we started the year 2023, we were preparing the business for a more significant increase, which didn't come for the reasons that we discussed, mainly about the increase of interest rates and the corporates slowing down a little bit. We had prepared ourselves for anticipating the business, hiring more people. But when we realized that the structure, the growth of the business was not at the level that we wanted, we took corrective action. And you see from 1,100 people at the end of Q4, we're down to 900 people. This is also partly the reason why our EBITDA margin, which usually is north of 60%, we close at 56%. With the corrective actions right now we have taken and the revenue expected for the next years, we expect to be back on track on our normal numbers. On slide number 12, this is again on a full-year basis. It's a big change on PeopleCert. For 20 years, 2020 to 2021, PeopleCert primarily was an exam delivery provider. We were delivering exams on behalf of third parties in a very efficient manner. After the Axellos acquisition and the change also in the English language, today we have close to zero exams delivery on behalf of any third party, and we have become an IT powerhouse. So our business is three things: it's creating IT, managing IT, monetizing IT. And there are various ways where we monetize IT. One of the ways that we monetize the IT is exams, but there are other ways as well, which you can see more clearly in slide number 13. You can see how the business was in 2020. And in 2021, we had 9% of our business being from online proctoring, clearly. In 2022, we started having the proprietary content, which is books, as we mentioned earlier. And this 13% you see on 2022, the blue, the timing of this that was in February of 2022 impacted the normalization because it was a zero. And to have right now in 2023, the 13% was 20% because this proprietary content includes not only the books but also the official training material. And it also shows that 2%, which we expect to increase, which is the membership subscription revenue. And as you can see, the exams right now are at 60% and going further down. The other thing which is quite important, when we made the acquisition, to have close to more than 15 different brands, which right now we organize and we our portfolio under four brands. The first is ITIL, and everything about IT and digital transformation is on ITIL, IT operations. We have Prinstool, which is about project management, program management, portfolio management. After the acquisition of DevOps Institute, this is everything else we have around IT, including AI operations, lean IT, software skills, data science. And last one is LanguageCert. So this is A, the new product taxonomy. B, you can see our new logo as well. And moving to slide 15, you can see also the new PeopleCert logo, which resembles to the PeopleCert logo in the past. It's a bit stronger, and most importantly, has the swirl at the beginning before this, which is PeopleCert. There are no PeopleCert products. PeopleCert is the overall brand, lateral brand, with the swirl, which represents the UK government. This is what we have, and this is when we make the acquisition. It's part of the acquisition, it's trademark. It's the swirl of the UK government. And of course, the new tagline, instead of being all talents certified, it's not anymore certification, it's dream it, do it, which goes both for corporations as well as for individuals. Slide number 16, the new products. It was a very significant year. We have new products on ITIL 4, primarily the 15 practices. On Prinstool, we have the new Prinstool 7. And the Prinstool 7 addresses everyone, not only project managers. And on LanguageCert, we have two new products, LanguageCert Academic and LanguageCert General, been in development for almost 3 years. Which is head-to-head competition to IELTS. Now, our languages portfolio is incomparable in terms of breadth. We have also the DevOps acquisition, which is completed. And also our product stack is important because it used to be only assessment in the past. And now we have not only assessment on all the above and all our products, we have the official book, we have the official training materials, which are both instructor-led and e-learning. And everything we do is English plus 8 languages, which is a huge project we have undertaken and is still going on. And some other things about the transformation here. The business model changed from examination initiative to IT powerhouse, as we said. Exam revenue is going down. Of course, it was significantly higher expenses to finance growth, and primarily people, because we need different type and different quality of people as a result of the new business. We also, right now, have the new subscription, is important. We have new groups that we are addressing, target groups, not only the training organization, because in the past we were addressing only the training organizations. Now we address the academic organizations, the tool vendors, the consulting partners, the enterprises, the governments. And of course, there are a lot more that is going there. This is just a quick snapshot. But what we want to do as a result of this is shift to a revenue per learner model. And we want to do two things at the end of the day. We want to increase the number of learners. And we increase the lifetime value and average revenue per learner. Those are the two critical things. Moving on slide number 18, you can see here the net debt to EBITDA, which is something that we had in our previous presentations as well. And we added a bit for more clarity based on some questions you have been asking in the past. Also our cash position. And then on slide 19, you can see the performance of our bonds. We are very thankful to you, to the investor community. In the last few weeks, the bond is performing steadily. The ask price sometimes is above 100. We're very close to par. And also you can see, compared to the other indices, that we have performed quite well. I hope we are up to your expectations when you invested your money to People's Health Bond. And I'd like to thank you very much for your trust and support to date. So this ends the presentation from my side, and I'm passing to George to continue with the financials.
Hello, everyone. Before moving on to the presentation, I would like to note that the numbers in this presentation are unaudited. We are expecting the audited financial statements to be available in the last week of April. We are moving to slide 21. Here we can see the financial evolution for the last 6 years. We closed with a slightly increased revenue, 2% up compared to the previous year, but our EBITDA margin was lower, therefore our EBITDA was at 67 million pounds instead of 78 in the previous year. We discussed in detail the reasons behind this earlier in this presentation. Our CAPEX remained similar to the previous year. The slight increase in our CAPEX is mainly due to the acquisition of DevOps Institute. Equally, our free cash flow generation was really strong. Our free cash flow conversion was at 85% and more or less in line with our historical numbers. All in all, we can see that despite the slight decrease in our EBITDA margin, our financial profile remains really strong with strong profitability and strong cash generation. We're moving on to slide 22. Here we are discussing our capital structure. We touched this a bit earlier. The good thing here is that our net debt to EBITDA ratio remains well below the 3. It's at 2.7. And we are expecting further deceleration in the coming quarters. In the next three slides, we have the profit and loss account, the balance sheet and the cash flow. I'm not going to comment on this since we have already uploaded a very detailed press release in our site and it's available for your review. This concludes our presentation and we are ready to move on to our Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our first question now from Laura Homsey from MFS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, thank you for taking the questions. I've got a few, actually. One is regarding, because you mentioned obviously that you've taken action with regards to the increased cost base and the larger employee base. So what is kind of your expectation in terms of margin evolution for this coming year? And then also how should we think about top line growth? Because obviously, as you said, 2023 was like a transformational and maybe an exceptional year in terms of low top line growth. So what should we kind of expect going forward to see there? I'll let you answer those first, and then I'll have some others. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're not, as you know, we are not allowed to give this whole guidance for next year. but in general, I would say the people's view is that what was our profile in the past, we should try to have a similar profile in the future. That's the maximum I can say at this call. Now, on the transformation side, the transformation is not something that is finished in 2023. It will continue on 2024. And also, there is the impact that I forgot to mention earlier of AI, of artificial intelligence, is playing a role to our business, which played a role also in the reduction of the workforce. And we expect those things, as I said, that our profile to remain the same as we have seen in the last many quarters.
You mean the profile, it was kind of pre-2023? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 2023, yes.
And with regards to the transformation, you mentioned this is ongoing or will continue in 2024. Are there any one-off costs related to that we should be aware of?
I cannot provide you numbers for 2024, unfortunately, but take my general statement.
And then in terms of dividends...
By the way, when are we going to have our results of Q1? Because it's not far away.
In May?
Okay. In May, yes. We'll try to make it as quickly as possible so it's not delayed. Yes. What was your question?
So then in terms of dividend payments, should we expect something similar to 2023? Because 2022 was a bit higher than that. But will it be more in line with 2023, you think?
In general, yes. In general terms, yes. Nothing spectacular, let's put it this way.
And CapEx, as you put in the presentation, that kind of increased a little bit to around 10 million in 2023. Is that kind of a new level that will be sort of the base CapEx level, or was that more of an outlier, you think?
Again, we cannot comment on 2024, but George said that part of the CapEx that is there because an acquisition we made, DevOps acquisition, if this was not, our CapEx was going to be down. But in general terms, you see consistency on the CapEx. So people said now it's 1 million more, 1 million less, or 2 million more, 2 million less. It does not really move the needle.
Okay. And then lastly, just on the balance sheet in the presentation, you have current borrowings of around 4 million, I want to say. Can you say what that relates to?
Probably not, but George is looking into this.
In the balance sheet, you mean?
Yeah, it's 3.989362, so around 4 million. Just trying to understand, because I guess it's not part of the bond, but I just want to understand what these borrowings relate to.
It has to do with the accrued interest that needs to be paid.
Accrued interest.
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have any other borrowing outside of the
just
bond.
Just the bond.
The other thing that I can say for two or three calls, we said that we're going to have an RCF, if you remember, and this RCF is finalized. I think it's going to be announced tomorrow or day after tomorrow, which is an RCF up to 60 million with Santander and Citibank.
Euro sterling? So?
Euros.
60 million euros?
Yes.
And one last question. With regards to the bond, is that hedged in any way? Because it's obviously a euro-denominated bond. You show it in sterling in terms of 260 million sterling. Obviously, the FX rate can change, etc. Have you fully hedged that at the time?
We are looking very closely into this. But the reason that we have this bond in euros right from the beginning was not only because of lower interest rates in Europe, but it provided also a natural hedge of our business. Because the way that our structure of revenue and cost is, it is the best one. In any case, we are taking advice and we are following very closely, almost on a monthly basis, but so far we did not take any hedge.
No hedges in place. Okay. Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Christian Wild from FIL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. Just on slide 8, please. So on the revenue normalization, I'm still trying to understand that a little bit. So when you said, or actually starting with slide 7, you said that there was obviously the pull forward effect to 2022. You also mentioned that because of price increases, the introduction of official training materials, that had an impact. So what has been the learning from the price increase? And can you say something about how you intend to think about pricing going forward? And then I was also wondering with respect to exam volumes, if you can give some qualifying statements. Obviously the KPIs are no longer a part of the presentation, I understand, but if you can provide a bit more color. And then I was also wondering on the normalization in slide 8, maybe let's start with that question. I've got some additional questions then.
Okay, slide number 8. First of all, this is a one-time effect. And it's a one-time effect because before this, before the acquisition, PeopleCert was doing only exams. As a result of the acquisition, we decided to bring the books on a mandatory basis. Now, I have to be careful how much information I give away because competitors may be listening as well. And at the second stage, we put also the training material. We did not have book revenue, and we did not have training material revenue. And by the time they were introduced, those had a significant impact on the learner cost, both of them. So the timing of this, the way it was, it has an impact on the financial year because the books were introduced on February, which means as of February, the prices were much higher. So a lot of revenue that was going to go in December went to January. We had an exceptionally high January. And similar stuff, because of the price increase that was going to be happened in the beginning of 23, because training materials became mandatory, we had an exceptionally high December. So those two, which are one-time effect, provide this normalization. What was the second question? Can you remind me, please?
Sure. Second question was on volume trends on the exam side, because...
Okay. Yes. This is something that we are working on, and as of next year, we'll try to come up with something more meaningful for you to give you some metrics on how we go on. But as you can understand, it's exams, it's books, it's training materials, it's subscriptions, it's the additional services, and the number of people may be different, and we have to come up with something that hopefully is going to be useful. No commitment from my side for now, but we're working on this.
But can you qualify? Can you just make some qualitative statements about volume trends you've seen recently?
I would say recently stabilization.
Okay.
With a positive trend, maybe. And again, this has to do with the country. It has to do also with the product itself. So, because Prince 2 and ITIL and languages are three totally different things. So it's different things, different markets. It's difficult. It's very difficult to generalize without giving wrong guidance. And we were very careful. We prefer not to say something instead of giving some guidance that might be perceived as not the right one.
Okay. And just in terms of thinking about 2024 and looking again at page 8, the normalization. So clearly you have some very easy comps for 2024, as you show, because on a normalized level, revenue should be higher. So should we expect Q1 24 and the rest of 24 to show accelerated growth because of these easy comps?
I wish I could answer you the question, but you know that I can't. You have to wait and see in the March, in the May reporting.
I mean, it's less about the forecast. It's about the concept you've just introduced in terms of talking about normalized revenues. So, I mean, conceptually, mathematically, that should imply higher revenue growth. isn't it, for 24 because of easier comps.
I like the way that you are thinking.
Okay, understood. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. Is there no further questions in the queue? I'd like to hand the call back over to Mr. Byron Nikolaidis, CEO, for any additional or closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. It has been great to meet you again, and thank you again for the support for the stellar performance of our bond, and see you in our next call, which is going to be within May. And have a happy Easter as well, and our apologies for mixing the date, because initially it was planned for tomorrow, and then we realized it's Good Friday. Here in Greece, we are Orthodox, so our apologies. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.